This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So we have some amazing partners that we need to talk about today.
Yeah, we really do.
Cassidy.com.
For sure.
Is the fastest growing online community of swingers. It is our favorite place to meet people. And we highly recommend that if you are looking for a swinger site to join, that you check out Cassidy.com. Plus, if you go to our website, frontporchswingers.com, we have two Cassidy banners available that you can click on and receive 30 free days of all of the paid services of Cassidy.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know how far a reach Cassidy has because we just got a message on Cassidy from a couple in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, which is badass.
Yeah, we have listeners in every state now and upwards of 80 countries, but we have never gotten an email or message from anyone in Saudi Arabia. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And they were super sweet.
They said they listened to every single episode, which was just super flattering and amazing, you know, halfway around the world.
Yeah, and they spent summers here in the States and they signed up with Cassidy because they're excited about trying it out since we have been talking about it so much, which is great.
So if people in Saudi Arabia can sign up, you people in the States can definitely sign up.
Absolutely. Get on board, folks. It's a hot place to be.
Yes. And if you're in the Denver area, it's a no-brainer because apparently there are like 1,000 couples on Cassidy in the Denver area.
Yeah, like 800 of them are in our community, which is awesome since we are having an event there next month.
Hell yeah, we are.
And I am really getting more and more excited about it because of the response we're getting, honestly.
We've received several RSVPs already. We've also received several additional emails from people saying like, we want to try to make it. They're not 100% committing, but I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot of them make it too.
Well, and, I mean, when you're saying several, we're in double digits already, which is getting really exciting.
Yeah, it's just like I was telling you earlier, I am just excited to be around like-minded people for a few days and to just kind of immerse ourselves in that world because we don't get that opportunity just every day living where we live.
No, like I said, we were talking about it, as you say, and I really want to be in a space where we're around people who get it and really around people who don't give a shit who hears us and who else sees them and, you know, what anybody thinks.
Yeah, I am excited for that. I think that there's, I mean, it's pretty obvious. A lot of the people in Denver have their faces on their profiles.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very open about, you know, explaining kind of who they are right off the bat. And that's very awesome to me because we never experience that part of the lifestyle where we live. Everyone's very secretive.
Yeah, it's very covert here where we live. And to give you some idea, you know, last night, obviously, we had date night, you and I, dinner at our favorite restaurant. And you got a text message from a couple, our friends here in town who are lifestyle friends. They were going to a concert in our town and there's live music every night in our hometown. And the club that they were having the event at was right down the street from where we were having dinner. So they asked us to join them. Right. Which, of course, we did because we were out and you were wearing a butt plug. So we thought, let's go out.
And, not me.
Yeah. And have some fun. Right. So we went and met them. And, you know, this is a couple we should say that is super fucking sexy.
Yeah.
She's as hot as can be.
So is he.
Yep. And we've never played with them.
No.
They're just friends.
Yeah.
We have not yet had the opportunity or gotten to that point, but we have now hung out with them a couple of times and it's very vanilla. We've had drinks and then we've gone to a concert. And the conversation we were having last night was nothing sexual.
So vanilla.
We were talking about traveling and, you know, what we'd been up to the past 3 or 4 weeks. They were traveling a lot. We're getting ready to do our traveling, talking about how excited we all are for the summer here.
Right.
Nothing overtly sexual at all.
No.
And, you know, it still felt like we had to be cautious about what we were saying and who was hearing us.
Right.
You know, as we started talking about the event that's taking place here for the first time ever in our hometown next month.
Yeah. And they were very concerned about who was going to, you know, potentially see them at this event.
Yeah. Who the bartender was going to be.
It's shockingly as much shit as we have talked about that the last three events that we've attended for this club in our state. They are holding their first event here in our town.
Ever.
And we were shocked when we found out the venue.
Well, let's just say this. We, again, for folks who maybe haven't listened to our show, we live in a very small community in the most beautiful place on earth. And it's a traveling destination. It's a destination.
Yes.
And particularly, whether it's summer or winter. Winter, it's skiing. Summer, it's everything outdoors.
Right.
And we have some amazing hotels in our town. This is one of the top three, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's certainly got the most popular bar spot of any hotel in town.
Yes.
And so the idea that this, you know, the host of these events has procured this space, and they're clients of mine.
Right.
And I don't give a shit who sees me. They're my clients. We're going. I don't fucking care.
You haven't quite talked me into it yet.
You may have
to give me some sexual favors or something to talk me into.
Well, I totally will. But we have to go because we have to be ambassadors. Here's my thing. We've talked a lot of shit about these parties.
Yes.
And rightfully so. They've been in fucking Fleabag
horrible hotels.
Terrible. Again, no slight on the host. He's done everything he can to cultivate the group, and he's grown the group. I mean, from the first party we went to, where there was about 30 people, to the third one we went to, where there was probably 75 or 80 people, he's done a really solid job. I absolutely commend him on what he's done.
Right.
But now he's taken it up a notch. You've gotten to one of the better hotels in the coolest city in our state.
Right.
Well done. We have to go. We really do, because it's the first party in our town. And I want it to be a success so that there's more. Because I am tired of people in our town being concerned about who fucking sees them.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think the only reason that you could potentially talk me into it is because of the venue. Because when we first heard that they were going to be holding these events, we thought it was going to be at this trashy fucking bar.
Well, it was originally scheduled for the shittiest, dirtiest fucking place in town.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it was canceled.
It's a place we would never fucking go to.
I don't even walk past it.
Yeah. So it was originally going to be held there. And then the motel that was a mile down the road was quite possibly the worst hotel in our town.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the shittiest one in our town.
So to hear that it went from that train wreck to one of the coolest hotels in our town was exciting.
Yeah.
And it made me feel like, okay, maybe this whole thing is moving in the right direction. And maybe if it's a success here and in a very kind of, you know, high profile hotel in the nicest town in our state, maybe he'll start to see value in doing it in better venues elsewhere too.
Well, I think what it'll do, if nothing else, is add validity to the group.
Yeah, I think so too. It won't be a joke.
Well, no. And he can also say, when he goes to some of these other cities that we've attended these events in, hey, listen, we just held an event at, you know, this particular venue in this particular town. It'll give some credibility. And it
was a success. We didn't get kicked out because we were a bunch of, you know, stupid idiots.
No morons running up and down the hallways naked. If he can do that and get a recommendation from this hotel, I mean, I think it'd be amazing for the, you know, for the group and the lifestyle in general. But what I was getting to is, even though we were having this conversation with our couple friend last night, they're super concerned about who they're going to run into.
Yeah.
And the truth is, this is a popular place. The bar, the hotel bar is very, very popular.
It's always packed.
The restaurant is very popular. And as a matter of fact, we ran into them there.
Yeah.
The first time we ever.
That's where we met Gerard the first time.
That's right.
Yep.
And so there's a fair amount of people in town that hang out there. You could always be seen there.
Right.
And so I get why there's some concern, but I really want to be around people in a city where it's not just, it's more accepted, and the individuality piece is more accepted, and people are not concerned that they're sitting with five other couples that are lifestyle couples having a normal conversation.
Right.
You know,
nobody that we've reached out to has said like, oh no, we can't go to the, you know, the bar that you're talking about, because we might know someone there.
And that's what I was really thinking of when we chose that destination. We looked at a lot of them and thought, this is probably the, you know, the right spot for us. I was wondering if anyone was going to say, hey, we'd really love to meet you, but you know, we know so-and-so there, or this person might be there. We got none of that.
No, not a single person said
that. None of it, which is great. From either a single person or couples.
Right.
And because we've got some single guys coming too.
Yeah.
No one has said a word.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. I think it speaks to the difference in the community.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm, like I said, I'm just excited to be around a different feel in the lifestyle. And I mean, the lifestyle event we're going to on Saturday is a whole different fucking thing.
Oh yeah, I mean it's at a lifestyle club. We don't have that here.
Right.
You know, we have a single lifestyle organization, which is this traveling party that we're referring to, but there's no fixed club. It just doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, we're
nowhere near that.
It's not prepared for that yet.
No, I don't think it will be for a long time.
No, we'll be
people would lose their goddamn minds. Their heads would explode if they found out that a swingers club was being put in our town.
Yeah, they shit every time a new place opens up with a liquor license. So
fuck yeah,
imagine with fucking dirty swingers are coming to town.
New casino opens up, it's like, ooh, the devil.
Oh my God. Fucking picketing. They start burning at the cross, the stakes outside. Yeah. But yeah, this, I mean, I'm really super psyched that it's at this particular venue. The truth is, I wouldn't try to talk you into it if it was anywhere else. If it was where it was originally going to be held, you know, I would never have even considered it. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is the exact opposite. It'll have the exact opposite effect.
Right.
As what this is going to have, I think. This particular venue adds validity.
Right.
The first venue he had it scheduled in, it just shoots it down. It's just a complete waste.
It perpetuates the stereotype. Like I was telling you earlier, perpetuates the stereotype that swingers are people that don't give a fuck about anything except banging. And it doesn't matter where it happens.
No, just indiscriminate.
They're just trashy people that just want to, you know, get their rocks off.
Right.
And having it at a nice hotel is completely, you know, against that stereotype.
I'm
and that
so
makes
surprised.
Me feel really good.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that he was able to score it. And I think it's great. I'll be working on you.
We'll see.
Starting tonight.
Yeah. You might have to provide me with some fun BDSM play or something.
Totally going to put my tongue in your ass. I'll work it out.
Did you do that last night? No, you didn't.
Well, you had a plug in your ass all night. And then, of course, I was obliged to fuck you in your ass.
Because I had a plug in?
Well, yeah.
So you're saying because I had a plug in, you had to fuck my ass.
Well, you wore the thing for 6 hours. It was the least I could do.
Thank you so much. Do you want to thank you for that?
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we've had some naughty shit go on the past week.
We really have. Why do you think that is?
We were talking about it before. I think
because it's also been really aggressive.
Last night was super aggressive, very intense impact.
Yeah.
You're pretty well bruised up today.
Oh, my tits are bruised, my arms, my inner thighs. I think they're bite marks maybe,
Yeah, you were pretty well bruised up. It was last night was rough and hard, and it was about an hour and a half of very aggressive sex.
Yes.
But we've had really hot sex we always do, but this last week has just been really intense.
Off the charts,
And I think a lot of it has to do with us kind of talking about your experience with Clint. Latest and really your regular play partner at this point. And I just, you know, listen, what did I just tell you yesterday, right? I'm getting ready. So you're not home yet the other night. I'm getting ready for the gym. And I'm in our bedroom and I got all the lights on. And I just catch a glimpse of the wall to the left of the bathroom door, right? Big, big wall. And I'm like, what the hell is that? It looked like paint on our wall. I thought, because, you know, it's a light colored wall. And I saw this kind of a darker shade of paint. And what the fuck is that? And I walk over to it. And I rub it with my finger, and then I start laughing because I'm looking at the height of it, where it is, and I realize what it is. It's your makeup.
Yeah.
From where Clint had you pressed up against the wall, fingering you from behind in the bedroom, because you told me about it.
Yep.
And I just started laughing. So, you know, thinking about that, of course, now I'm all worked up, you know, because I can visualize this. Of course, I got to go to the gym.
My face pressed against the wall with some other dude. Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucking hot. But I think a lot of it has to do with us, you know, really going over those experiences that you've had. And of course, talking about the upcoming experiences. And of course, we'll talk about them on later podcasts. But yeah, I mean, it's just so, and the fact that he is dominant as well.
Yeah.
And has a really good control over you sexually.
That gets you going?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the idea that you are, well, you know, because there was, you know, when you were playing with Gerard, it was super fucking hot. Okay.
Right.
Super hot. You were really attracted to him, really enjoyed your time with him, but you were really in control.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I was.
You were taking control of that whole experience. And then with Derek, taking control of that experience.
100% with him.
100%, right? This is a different situation. You know, you're attracted to him, but you've also taken that submissive role, that bottom role, with a guy who is a dominant person, who is a top. And the idea that you're getting it from him and me is just so fucking hot to me, because we can play off of that. I mean, it's just been so intense. And that's, I think, really what's ramped up the rough impact play that we've been going through.
Well, so last night you had me sit on a suction cup dildo while I was sucking your cock, and I was bouncing up and down on that while I was, you know, providing you with oral pleasure.
Yeah.
And it made me think how hot it would be to experience the male-female-male threesome for real, because we really haven't done that. We've done it sort of with couples for, you know, a couple minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But I've never been the complete center of attention with two guys before. And the idea of it being you and Clint doing it, two very dominant men,
yeah,
completely having control of me and really using me, quote-unquote, sexually.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That has just, I can't stop thinking about it today. It's all I can think about today.
Yeah, he's, I think, the right guy for that. You know, we've obviously, you and I have talked about it. I think he's the one that could really do that with us.
Yeah.
We have experimented with that, as you said, with couples. But the one time that we really experimented with it, it was really me and the other, the male of the couple and the female of that couple. That were really the male, male, right. female. You were basically videotaped. You were right. videoing it.
I was, yeah. voyeuring
so,
the whole thing.
I really think that in that, for that experience of the male, male, female, you being the female, with myself and Clint, two very dominant personalities, I think the dynamic will be just really so intense.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's really where this is going
to
go.
I really think we need to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's like a huge, it's, a huge fantasy for me, period, to be yeah. dominated by multiple people, but to have it be the person I love and who tops me all the time, yeah. and now a new play partner yeah. who I fucking love being topped by,
yeah.
it's like, it's got me in a whole different headspace.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of this, the ramped up impact play has come from this past week or two, really, but this past week for sure. Last night was really the culmination of all of that.
Yeah, you were hitting me with a new crop that we got that I'm in yeah. love with.
Yeah, the crop, the flogger, the suction cup pussy. Dildo. Yeah, and of course you had an anal plug in for like the entire evening.
Yeah, and then you like DP'd me with the suction cup dildo. You yeah. had it inside of me and then yeah. you started fucking my ass.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, I've never felt so full in my entire life. I'm yeah. not sure I could do that with two guys.
It would be tough, I think. I mean,
I feel like not because it would be too painful or anything, just because the logistics of it seem fucking complicated. Because even yeah. it was hard last night for you to get your cock inside my ass.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Once the dildo was in, it was tough. Yeah, but it was hot. I mean, it was as hot as could as it's ever been.
So fucking
and rough. I mean, it was a long play session of hard.
It was.
Sex.
I'm
You're pretty
sore
well bruised
today.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my tits are really, you really, between the smacking my tits and biting and cropping.
Yeah.
My tits hurt in yeah. like a good way.
Yeah. And your arms are bruised up. And
yeah.
Yeah. It was very hot. I mean, we had a hot night last night. Listen, you're wearing an anal plug, which we had planned obviously from early in the day. So you've had this thing in all night. We had this, surprise text from our friends. So we met our super sexy friends and just being around another sexy couple.
They were
lifestyle.
Like touching each other all night.
Yeah, they're like were us. They're just
making
always,
out.
Yeah, they're in contact. We were dancing. You and I were dancing. They were dancing with each other behind us.
Yeah.
It was a very hot kind of environment. So by the time we got home, I mean, you know, it was full on before we ever got
cock.
To the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were taking clothes off going up the stairs.
We totally
you know?
Were.
So it was super fucking hot. You know, fortunately for us.
Fuck yes. So, I mean, our sex is always hot, but it's been really extra hot the last couple weeks.
For sure. So obviously we're going to talk more about your play partner as we go into some of the other episodes. Today we have something unique happening. We've got an interview we're going
to
do.
First, I want to say a huge thank you to the people that have gotten onto our YouTube page and
yes.
subscribed. If you have not already, please check out our YouTube page, Front Porch Swingers.
Yeah.
We have some really cool toy videos up there. We have plans for some other more informational shit, but it'll still be sexy and fun because mm-hmm. that's just, you know, we don't do anything normal. So
no.
we're going to
no.
have some fun shit on there. And then also, please, if you have not already, please consider either subscribing to us on Podbean or iTunes.
Yep.
And that way you are the first ones to hear about our new episodes hitting.
Yeah.
Plus, you're helping to support the podcast in doing so. So thank you to those of you who have already. And if you haven't already, we would super duper appreciate it.
Yeah. And really a big thank you to the couple that reached out to us about their profile. We got a great email from a couple who already has a profile set up on Cassidy.
Right.
A new one, brand new one. They clicked on our page and, you know, jumped on and built a profile and reached out to us and actually asked us to send them our ebook on what their profile should really, you know, comprised of. And I mean, we couldn't be any happier to do that.
Yeah.
Really. So if you have any questions, absolutely reach out. We'd love to help you with it.
Yes. Plus, if you want to sign up for our ebook, Couple
yeah.
for Couple on frontporchswingers.com, do that because
yeah.
it's a good read, right? It's
yeah,
pretty
listen,
interesting.
I think it lays it out. I mean, we've had some really people have reached out to us and had some really good success and have done some, you know, kind of played with it a little bit. And yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. So thank you for all that. Thank you just for support in general. You guys are amazing to us.
Yeah.
And a couple that has been amazing to us in the podcast world are Finn and Emma from Normalizing Non-Monogamy. Yep. They've been so gracious to us. They had us on their podcast when we were still fairly new doing all of this.
Very
they kind of
so.
Took a chance on us in some ways, because it was like no one in the other, you know, none of the other podcasters had really even heard of us when we sat down and talked with them.
No.
It was so early on in our podcasting, and you know, they were willing to sit down and talk with us, and we had an amazing conversation with them about their journey in the lifestyle. They started very early on in their relationship, very similarly to us.
But they've been together a long time. When they got together very young.
Yeah, and now they're traveling the world, and their stories and the way that the lifestyle has really morphed based on their travels has been so interesting. So we're really excited to share that perspective with you today during our interview with them.
For sure.
And we hope you enjoy it.
So today we are so excited to be interviewing the hosts of an amazing podcast called Normalizing Non-Monogamy. Emma and Finn are with us. Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Yeah, and glad we could finally be here after our audio and internet issues that nobody knows happened.
Except everyone.
Except everyone now. Yeah, some technical difficulties.
No, this is awesome. Yeah, you guys are pretty remote, it sounds like, right now?
Yeah, well, you know, surprisingly, we're not that remote. They just apparently haven't figured out internet yet.
Well, yeah, we're in Chile, and it's, the internet just comes and goes.
It's not a huge priority, I guess. They're making wine. They're too busy making wine.
Yeah, really good wine.
Making apparently. Wine and grilling meat, so.
Yeah, sure. Oof,
that's way better than internet.
Yeah, yeah, I take that over internet, for sure.
Awesome. So we obviously wanted to have you guys on for a couple different reasons. One, because we enjoy your work and the podcast, and also just because we've had chances to interact with you guys in other ways and think that you're awesome and really want to get your perspective on some things, particularly because right now, at least, you're living a very different life than we are.
For sure.
In terms of all of the traveling that you're doing and all of that. So we first wanted to ask, how did you guys make the decision to live such an unconventional life? I mean, not only are you traveling and everything else, but then, you know, on top of it, your personal lives. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for stroking our egos. That felt really good.
To us, it doesn't feel like that untraditional, but I guess it is. So.
Yeah. I mean, do you want us to speak to the non-monogamy side first or the travel side first, or was there a third side?
Let's talk non-monogamy first.
Yeah, so on that side, it was really just, I think, came out of wanting to explore other people and explore what was out there, but not have to leave or give up being with each other. And
we were
fairly young. We were 19 and 20-ish when we started doing this, and we had been together a little over a year, and I think we were just kind of like, you know, neither of us had a lot of dating experience or experience with other people, and we wanted to get that, but we also really tended to enjoy each other's company, and so we found a way to compromise.
Yeah, I think that you hit it there, got it right.
Nailed it.
Awesome. It's really interesting to think, too, that you guys were so young when you started out, because I mean, a lot of what's happening when you're swinging and all of the dynamics that you're wading through really take a lot of maturity. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, we just had this very conversation with a couple last evening about the fact that, you know, to some degree, the idea that a lot of people in the lifestyle are a drop older seems like, you know, the average anyway is a drop older. Mm-hmm. And I liken that to really not fully understanding yourself at an early age to fully comprehend the lifestyle, but again, proven wrong.
Yeah, and I think to pretend that it's been perfect, smooth sailing the whole time is not, it would be misleading. So we actually broke up a few times throughout college. You know, after we opened our relationship, opening our relationship really had nothing to do with it. It was...
No, we were young and exploring.
Yeah, we were young and curious and dumb and arrogant and all the things that you are when you're in college. And sort of what happened was at the end of college, we got back together. And one of the things that happened was Emma had a few boyfriends, so to speak.
That's a loaded term. They were more like friends with benefits type right. thing.
And so we were laying in bed one night, and I was like asking her, like, well, what did you do? What, you know? And she like didn't really want to tell me, but I finally like got her, like got it out of her, and it was a huge turn on for me. And
that was weird at first.
she's come to getting used to it.
Yeah, now. I've gotten used to it by now.
Yeah, but it was so. Yeah, and you know, then we moved out east for a couple of years, and we got it more into it after college, and kind of went down the more traditional, like going to parties, meeting people online, and just sort of starting to explore it that way.
Yeah, I think the other thing I wanted to add was that we met each other when we were 13. We were really good friends in high school. We dated other people, but we had a solid friendship. And I think that that trust in each other that we had for many years really helped us get to, I guess, another level on the non-monogamy side that we may not have gotten to as soon if we hadn't had that base trust and friendship first. So I think that made a big difference. And it definitely wasn't easy all the time. We have our bumps in the road, and we still do, but it was what we always wanted. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. And also to say that we do this all the time is again, a misleading, right? So, you know, when we first got into this in 2000, let's call it 2010, when we moved out east and we started looking into it more seriously, we were maybe doing it 2 weekends out of the month.
Going to parties.
Going to a party or meeting people. Yeah. And since then, we've had almost entire year stretches where we don't do anything. We'll go 3, 4, 5 months without doing anything, and then we'll do something, you know, go to a couple of clubs or a party. Or then we'll
go to Desire for a week or something like that, yeah.
Right. So for us, it's, you know, life happens, and this is just part of what we do, and sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't. It's just kind of always an option.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, you guys have obviously been developing a relationship, friendship relationship since you're 13. I mean, it's just amazing how obviously connected you must be in every imaginable way.
Yeah, for sure. So here's a question then. Like, obviously, I would assume that as much as you guys are traveling and, you know, not necessarily, you know, having a stationary place to be right now, I mean, does that affect you guys from a sexual perspective?
We've had this conversation a lot lately.
Yes.
The bottom line is yes.
yeah, really? Hugely. So,
well, first off, I think our personalities both tend to be those that when we get focused on other things, sometimes the sexual side of things can take a back seat. And we don't necessarily like that about either of us, but it just... Thankfully, we are on the same page a lot of times. So with this travel, we've been put in a lot of uncomfortable situations, also just maybe not the sexiest situations. And that has made it harder for us to kind of push and feel sexier to each other.
Yeah, and you know, this type of thing happened even when we weren't traveling. It would be we're focusing really hard on, you know, working out and exercising, or one of us has a huge work project, or both of us have huge work projects, or
family issues,
or family, and so it wasn't uncommon for us to oftentimes prioritize things ahead of our sex lives, which again sounds kind of crazy for people who have a podcast about, I guess loosely about sex, but when we do have sex, it's usually pretty badass.
It's amazing, yeah. But,
you know,
we don't mean to say it sound like we never have sex, because that's definitely not true. but there's just, the point is, there's stretches over our relationship where we have less sex, and there's stretches where we have more sex, and that's probably pretty common, I would imagine. But
yeah, and so
the travel has impacted
it. Travel has impacted it, and it's, you know, it's multiple factors, and you're in an uncomfortable place, or you're in a new place. There's maybe we have roommates
right now.
Like right now, we live in a house, a really old house there's currently two other people here that every time you move, the whole house shakes. So
people don't speak the same language either, so it's hard to communicate. But that doesn't matter.
That doesn't
but
matter
just
for
like,
us having sex.
No, yeah. But like, if you want to, I don't know. I always feel awkward about it.
Well, we don't have to tell them we're going to have sex. But
no, but if they heard us, I don't know.
Announce it to the house. Yeah, right. No, hey guys, more, it's time for sex.
I know. It's more if people hearing us, I don't know. It's strange.
But, you know, on top of that, it's maybe you're not sleeping in the nicest bed, or you're not in the cleanest of rooms, or you're spending a night in the airport or two nights in the airport, and you're traveling a lot, you're changing your situation a lot, and a lot of times at the end of the day we're tired and we crawl into bed and we're like, well, I love you, I'll see you in the morning. And then we go to sleep. But you know, it's one of those things that we do talk about a lot, and it's something that we want to focus on more, and we're working on it.
Yeah, because I think we both miss the intimacy and would like to figure out a way to make it more of a priority.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it sounds like you guys are making the most of what time you do have for that intimacy. That's the most important thing, obviously.
Do you guys find that your trips to, like, Desire and, the lifestyle resorts then are, like, your chance to reconnect and, like, find each other again?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was even the case when we weren't traveling. It was when you show up at a place like Desire, you clear your schedule, right? There's nothing, literally nothing else on your schedule other than enjoy your partner and maybe some other partners, but
and you
definitely
have to eat,
your partner.
Sleep and shower.
Yeah. And so
the basics.
Yeah. The amount of relationship building and rekindling that happens on those trips for us is incredible. And actually, you know, we actually had last week or 2 weeks ago, we took a little mini trip for ourselves and, you
just
know,
one night.
Yeah.
But it was a reconnecting day / night, and it was amazing.
Because, you know, to back up really quick, we're traveling and we don't have traditional jobs, but we're working 5 to 6 hours a day on volunteer work, and then after that we're working on multiple other projects, including the podcast. And so we don't leave a lot of time for ourselves, and so we took 2 days off, and we went to a hot springs, and we stayed a night in an Airbnb, and we didn't focus on anything other than us, and it was like a little mini Desire minus all the other people.
Not so. At the Airbnb.
So
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, for us, we obviously, like you folks, we, you know, lives get busy. We, for us, reconnecting, it's the most important thing too. Sometimes just throughout the course of the day, we kind of drift apart a little bit because of, you know, work or whatever. And then in the evening when we, you know, once we see each other, we get back together, that reconnecting, the reconnection time is just so important to us. So we completely understand it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So when you guys are traveling to these other countries and things like that, are you taking any time to swing if you're not like at Desire? Like, are you meeting people in the lifestyle at all?
Well, if we're meeting them, we haven't figured it out yet.
It hasn't been our focus. Let's just say that it's not something we're opposed to, but it's not been our focus. And there is a language barrier, although I'm sure if we really tried, we could find people.
I think it's one of those that if something comes up or something presents itself, we're not opposed to it. Again, we're not actively going to clubs and looking for people on websites. But if we meet somebody or an opportunity comes up, we would definitely
jump on it.
Take it. Jump on it.
Well,
jump
so
on
to speak.
It literally. No.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so obviously, you know, if you've listened to our show at all, and for our listeners, we're like kind of horny people, and so we have to ask you some sexy questions.
Yeah, we are.
So the first one I have for you guys, I obviously love watching Brian with other people. It's a huge turn on for me, and there are specific things that, like, watching him do it, you know, like, just drives me crazy to a point that I can't even explain. So Finn, I'll ask you first, what is the hottest thing that you have ever seen Emma do?
The hottest.
And Emma's hot, so this is a tall order.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of shit, okay. So there's a huge Rolodex of things going back through my head here.
Yeah, you gotta go through that mental Rolodex and kind of, you know, dig deep, I'm sure.
I'm thinking too, because I have a feeling I'm coming next.
Yeah. You sure are.
Yeah, you're on deck, sister.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was anything that she hasn't done before, but it was maybe the context in which it was happening. So we had a situation where we were both traveling out to California. She was out there already for a conference, and I was coming in from a trip in New York for work and coming out to meet her, but there was an opportunity to meet up with somebody the night before I got there.
The night that I got there.
Yeah. I don't know. The time zone's kind of screwed with me. But anyway, it was before I got there. And so, you know, she met this person, this guy, and they went out and had coffee and then went back to the hotel and had a good evening together and recorded it. And, you know, I woke up the next day and had like a bunch of texts on my phone and then got to come out and see her and then watch the videos together. So that was a pretty good time. It wasn't anything crazy that they did, but it was just the context in which it happened.
Right,
it was,
like right before you got to come out there.
Yeah, and knowing that she was kind of doing whatever she wanted because I wasn't there right. Directing or asking for anything. It was just her doing what she wanted to do, and then I got to see the results of that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you're speaking my language.
We just did that for the first time recently with my single male playmate.
Yeah, it was super hot.
Sent me some video, or I guess pictures.
Sent me pictures. It was the first time that Brenna played alone, you know, with anybody for that matter, but this particular playmate, and they sent me a couple of pictures in anticipation for her, you know, on her way back to the house. It was amazing. It doesn't even begin to describe it, so I can only imagine how it was for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, Emma, how about you?
Well, I think that, like Finn said, thinking through the Rolodex of times here, but one of the...
The question was the hottest thing?
Yeah, the hottest thing that... I mean, just the hottest thing in the lifestyle that, like, you know, you've seen Finn do or he's done and you've been able to experience and it just, like, you know, drove you crazy.
In a literal term. And it was pretty sexy, too, was the time I was sweating all over the place in that hotel room.
That's not the one I had thought of, but that's
we'll tell that one in a minute.
Yeah, I'll tell that one in a second because that was really good. I had forgotten about that. No, the one I was thinking of was one of the nights we were at Desire. We had been invited to an orgy, and there were, I don't know, like 12 or 16 people there, and it was a lot of people. And Finn had the opportunity to play with, I don't know, at least maybe three of the women, I think, and made each of them squirt, like, all over the place. And that was pretty impressive and very hot for me.
You got skills.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
I even got a high five from one of the guys.
I know.
Yeah, for sure. You're getting a virtual high five from me right now.
Yeah. And I just got to see, I was active as well, but I also spending time just sitting and watching, and it was like you being involved in everything there, but also there was a lot of other people just doing crazy stuff. It was a pretty surreal evening.
Yeah, it sounds like sensory overload.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. The other story that Finn was referencing there was one night we went to a party and we met this couple and ended up going back to their hotel room.
Yeah.
And
I was on my A game that night. I was having a good night.
Yeah. And it was very warm in their hotel room and Finn started sweating because he was working very hard and just like sweating all over the place and finally looks at me and goes, please turn on the air conditioning.
That was hard at work. I like it.
That was also the night, one of the more awkward things that's ever happened while I was.
It was awkward for me too.
So the woman and I were connecting fairly well.
Hence all the sweating.
And Emma and the guy, I mean, they were having fun, but we were on a little bit of a different level, just in terms of the connection. And we were doing our thing, and the guy kind of asked his wife, he was like, so, you know, do you want to maybe switch back? And she kind of looked at him, and she goes, no, I'm having a pretty good time. And I was like, oh boy, this is awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward for me too.
How funny. Asking to cut in and just got denied. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
It was good for your ego though.
Yeah, but not good for the awkward. Jesus.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, that changes the temperature in the room pretty fast. I got a little chilly. Yeah.
I started sweating more. It was crazy.
And not for a good reason. Okay, so here's a question for you guys, because we talk to like our lifestyle friends about this quite a bit, and we talk about it on the podcast as well. So for us, you know, the cool thing about the lifestyle is that you can make it what you want to make it, and you can be in the lifestyle for many different reasons. For us, we do it because we love watching the other person pleasure someone else, and that sensuality, you know, seeing it from a distance or hearing about it later just completely intensifies it. And it just, you know, makes us so crazy for each other. Plus it's also brought, you know, a lot of connection to our relationship. So I want to ask you guys, what has swinging done for your relationship, both in terms of like an emotional connection between you guys, as well as a sexual one?
I'll go first. I think, you know, it has, and I know everybody says this, it's changed the way we communicate, and it's changed the things that we can communicate about. And so, yeah, we just have conversations that most people can't even fathom, you know, talking about, would you like to do this or would you like to do that? And actually, you know, we referenced the night where a week ago we went and kind of got away from everything. And a big part of that was we just sat and talked about fantasies and things that we hadn't done or that we wanted to explore more.
In the hot springs.
All day long. Yeah. And one of the things, like, towards the end of it, we were talking about stuff, and she was just like, I can't believe you would ever even want me to do these things. And I was like, well, believe it.
I know. It's like, even though it's been years, like, so we still have those conversations.
Yeah, and so I think, yeah, it just, even though we've been doing it as long as we have, there's still things that, you know, haven't happened or that we talk about having happened, or maybe they've happened in some capacity, but we do them again or do them differently. And yeah, it's a different level of excitement that I think, you know, we have the ability to bring into our relationship.
Yeah. I think for me, the communication too, like Finn mentioned, is huge, but also it's brought a lot of fun, like just a lot of fun into our lives that we may not have had that type of fun otherwise. Like
may not,
we probably wouldn't have. Like, it's just the people and the connections that we've made, the conversations that you have with friends that you can be open with, and then, like, fun parties, fun adventures. It just brings a whole nother, I guess, sense of adventure to our relationship.
Yeah, I think you touched on it there, too. Like, we now have friends in our lives that, not to discount the friends that we had before this, but we have friends all over the world that we connect with on a much deeper level a lot of the time. That,
yeah, even if you don't ever play with them or anything, yeah, like that, you just having that door down where you can talk about sex is huge.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
No, I had one other thing that I wanted to throw in there, which is we don't have to worry. We don't have to, you know, try to check on each other's phones and see what the other person's doing. And if we go out to a bar with friends and she starts talking to someone or some guy starts talking to her, I don't have to get defensive and pissed off, because, I mean, for one, it's fine, and two, I'm just not worried.
We share everything.
Yeah, so there's like, not a trust issue, right, between us, that I'm never worried that she's gonna run off with some other guy, because why does she need to cheat on me when I've literally told her I would like to do this thing, so you don't have to cheat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think just it takes away a lot of the angst and tension.
Right.
Not that, yeah, we don't have tension for other reasons, but
I think every couple does a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. What I was going to say is we were just talking to lifestyle friends last night, new lifestyle friends, who said that exact same thing. Like, it's so funny going back and forth between like vanilla world and not vanilla world.
Yes.
In terms of having two groups of friends, because the things that you can talk about with your lifestyle friends and the ways that you can be open with them and tell them the dirtiest shit on your mind and they're not going to judge you for it, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The idea that you can actually speak to people openly and honestly. And the interesting thing to me, particularly, you know, about the lifestyle and the people in it, we had just met this couple, you know, met them face to face for the first time last night, although we had been in digital contact and communicating with them. But the idea of sitting across the dinner table from people you literally just met and having these intimate conversations and being very comfortable with that idea. And at the same time, we would never have a conversation like that with people who have been friends for 10 and 20 and 30 years. Mm-hmm. So at least for me, I could never imagine doing that. And that's what I think is the most interesting.
Yeah, and it's
kind of rewarding.
It's also a double-edged sword, though. We found ourselves in situations then with our less, our more vanilla friends, maybe, is a good way to put it. And mm-hmm. and they'll tell us something that they're like, oh, this is so crazy. And we're like, no, that is crazy.
Oh, I have a good story about that. We have some vanilla friends that we've known for a long, long time. And they think that they're so, like, open-minded and everything, that they always get naked in their hot tub. And they get naked with some other friends, and it's like four of them that often get naked together in their hot tub, and they tell us about it and everything, and they're like, next time you come over, we're all getting naked in the hot tub. And we're like, oh, okay, sure. And like, we don't care, we'll get naked with them. And so we just one night we got there to their house and just got naked and got in the hot tub, and they're like, oh my god, like, you guys got naked. And we're like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it's amazing what people think is a big deal in the vanilla world, I suppose, as opposed to the lifestyle world, and it's quite a contradiction.
Totally. So here's another question too that your last response made me think of. You guys have been talking about and fantasizing about different things, kind of as, you know, your swinging evolution continues. So what are some things that are still on your sexy swinger bucket list?
I don't remember saying anything like that.
Yeah, way to go, Finn. No. I think there's a lot. I think both of us would like to explore the hot wifing dynamic a little more.
Yeah, we've explored it in the past, but right. Yeah, doing some more of that. I think also exploring more separate play. We do enjoy playing together in group situations, whether it's 4, 6, 8, even odd numbers are acceptable as well. But I think having the opportunity to connect with somebody on a more intimate level and not worry about what the other two people in the room are doing or the other four people in the room are doing, I think that allows for a different type of experience mm-hmm. that we both enjoy. And I think, you know, the ultimate dream would be to find a couple or a couple of couples that we can play with in a lot of different capacities, whether it's, you know, maybe one of us is out of town for work, so then there's three of us, or maybe two of us can go out for a night and two of us don't, or, you know, any number of combinations, but being comfortable enough with people that can happen fluidly and not be an issue.
Right.
But that's a difficult thing to make happen.
Yeah, that's a tall order. But I can tell you from our experience, certainly mine, the hot wife experience in and of itself has lent itself to a whole nother level of intimacy for us. It's a very different dynamic. And I agree with you, Finn. There's a certain level of, you know, heat that is generated when you're in the room with your partner and other partners. And for me, I think starting there and then maybe going your separate way so that, you know that there's some intimacy that's taking place, but you separate and then you don't know what's really going on. And then you come back later and have that reconnection. That to me is a very intense thing as well. So I agree with you. And I certainly encourage it. We encourage it. I mean, it's done amazing things for us sexually, not to mention just in a communicative capacity for us.
Mostly the sex.
Don't get me wrong.
It's been really fucking hot.
Yeah, I don't want to bullshit you. However, the communication piece, to have that kind of openness, like you said, Finn, is it only lends itself to a higher and higher level of connection and communication. You've got to have it, or this simply isn't going to work.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, that being able to go apart or separate and then come back together and each share what happened is super, I don't know, it's super fun. Mm-hmm. We've had the experience a few times at Desire where, you know, it's sort of a closed environment and you can go to separate rooms and do that. And like, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. It's fun letting each other sort of explore what connection you're having and in the moment, and not having feel like you're watching over that person, or have them feel like you're watching over them. Like, well, what are you going to do next? What's going to happen right next? Like, just letting it happen a little more organically is something we found that we do enjoy. And
definitely,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's it lends itself to a very different level of play, I think, for everyone involved, for sure.
Well, we would love for you guys to take any time you want to talk about your podcast, where people can find you, any other projects you guys have coming up, all of that fun shit.
Yeah, fill us in.
I mean, that was easy. We're already at the end of your questions.
Yeah, yeah. We keep it short and sweet here. We're 30 to 40 minutes.
Yeah, we know what you guys are up to, and we want to give you some alone time. So.
Well.
Yeah.
For contacting us, we would love anyone out there that wants to learn more or chat with us to reach out. You can find us on our website at normalizingnonmonogamy.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Cassidy under the screen name NNM Podcast.
And maybe just for anyone who's not quite familiar with who we are, what we do, our show, it takes a little bit of a different spin on the lifestyle podcast. And we basically every week we interview somebody new, whether it's a couple or a single person, and just hear their story, whether it's polyamory or swinging or somewhere in the middle. You know, there's a lot of blending of the two we found. And so, yeah, we talk to people who are in ethically non-monogamous relationships. I think that's the right way to say that. And, and yeah, we let the conversation go where it may. And it's been awesome, and we're loving it.
Yeah. And you can also newly find us on Instagram. We just created an account too there under the same screen name. I forgot to say that. Yeah,
you can go see all our one post.
We'll work on getting more.
Yeah, it won't take you long, believe me.
So yeah, that's us in a nutshell. And we again wanted to say thank you for having us on. And yeah, it's been awesome getting to know you both.
Yes, us too. You guys have been so amazing to us. And like I said, the reason I personally, I don't want to speak for Brian, although I think he agrees with me, the reason that we love your podcast is because it does bring so many different perspectives. You know, it's like, I mean, our podcast, we fucking love because we talk about sex and that's what we're passionate about. And it's a blast for us. But it's also really nice to get different perspectives from different, you know, different ends of the spectrum of non-monogamy. So we highly recommend Normalizing Non-Monogamy for that reason.
Yeah, let's face it. People are far more intelligent than we are. So that's why we need to listen to you people.
Yeah, but you're having totally. The good sex, so we can't be everything.
We have a ton of great sex, so there's no question about that. But we do need to educate ourselves every now and then, and that's why we listen to the intellectuals.
Mix it up, not just all sex all the time.
That's right. Yeah, we've got to learn a few things. We've got to talk to you guys.
You can even listen while you're having sex. That's allowed.
Oh, there we go.
That's an idea. That's an idea.
See, I like
where your head is at, man. I like it. Well, you guys are going to have to get to our neck of the woods soon when you leave the country of Chile. So.
Yes. It's on our list. We've discussed this in the past. We will make it there, and we will hit the great outdoors together.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Please.
Yeah,
All right.
We can't promise you the warm weather, certainly, but you'll enjoy it, no doubt about it.
That's okay.
Thank you guys again so much.
Thanks, no guys. Problem. We really appreciate
it. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
If you're anything like us when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating, and we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.